Chapter 3. Radiant sunlight shone through the painted front window of Krusty's pizza shop and onto Mick's frowning face as he sat in the corner booth of the restaurant. He propped his chin upon his palm and glanced over to Train, tapping his stubby fingers on the tabletop, as Crazy Legs shoved a ham grinder into his mouth, completely oblivious to their frustration. Finally, Mick slapped his palm down on the table hard enough to make the plates and glasses rattle.
Will you hurry up? I'm sick of waiting for you.
Train nodded.
I've never seen anyone eat so slow in my whole life.
Their skinny friend remained unflappable.
You're the ones who dragged me out of bed to come down here. Now you'll just have to suffer with the consequences.
Mick laughed.
Drag you out of bed? It was 11:30.
And what's with the whole grinder?
Train asked.
We said we were going for a snack.
I need to keep my energy up.
Crazy Legs said.
I'm in training, you know.
Training.
Mick motioned to a young waitress with short black hair passing by with four lunch plates stacked on her arms.
Hey, how about getting these dirty dishes out of my face?
I'm a little busy.
Crazy Legs wiped his mouth with a napkin.
Anyone talk to Jeff lately?
Mick exhaled a sigh of agitation.
I bought his backpack by his house yesterday, but he was still in bed. His mother said he had four stitches in his hand and a mild concussion. All things considered, he got lucky, I guess.
I still can't believe it,
Train said, his eyes fixed upon a TV monitor mounted near the ceiling over Mick's seat.
So much for the truth.
I tried to warn him about the tornadoes. He's too trusting sometimes. You can't turn your back on Craig or that son of a bitch Curly for 1 second.
Crazy Legs swallowed a mouthful of food.
You know what I think? I think Jeff should just thank his lucky stars and be done with it. Nothing good is going to come from tangling with the tornadoes again. We're seniors now. We ought to be thinking about college, not who's king of the hill.
College?
Mick pointed a thumb to his burly friend staring up blankly at the television set.
You think this lummox has any shot of getting into college?
Watch it,
Train grumbled without looking down. Mick leaned over the table toward Crazy Legs.
You know what I think? I think you're an idiot if you believe the tornadoes are just going to lie low until next June. I think what happened to Jeff is just the beginning if we don't squash those bugs right now.
He shoved his empty soda glass toward the center of the table.
I think I'm going out of my mind sitting in this bullshit restaurant.
Train pointed up to the TV.
Check it out. They're talking about us on the news. Turn up the sound.
Mick stood on his seat and reached up to access the volume button.
How's that?
The waitress returned to their table and began to stack their dirty dishes.
Please don't stand on the furniture. And watch the language.
Mick sat back down.
Quiet,
he told her.
We're trying to watch the news.
I thought this was a school day,
she snapped before storming off. Crazy Legs gazed up with his grinder an inch from his nose while Mick craned his neck to see the screen overhead. An unseen anchorwoman spoke to a young reporter with wavy blonde hair, standing in the lobby of a school with a microphone in his hand.
The 53-year-old student resource officer is listed in stable condition at Madison General Hospital after sustaining multiple injuries in the altercation. Let's go to Rick Flynn with more on this story from Salisbury High School. Rick?
Thanks, Melissa.
The reporter began.
I'm here with Sergeant Bob Hurst of the Salisbury Police Department. He's one of four officers who responded to a call on school grounds early Monday morning. Sergeant Hurst, can you shed any light on what happened here that morning?
Mick grunted.
That guy's an asshole.
Hurst is the worst.
Crazy Legs agreed. The sergeant stepped closer to the reporter's microphone and spoke in a low, gruff voice.
At precisely 8:47 on Monday morning, we responded to a call concerning a disturbance on the school grounds involving approximately a dozen students. Upon our arrival at the school, several of the students fled the scene of the disturbance, and two officers engaged in pursuit.
Mick sucked his cheeks and bulged his eyeballs at his friends.
At precisely 8:47,
he mimicked Hurst to their amusement. The reporter Flynn spoke into his microphone.
The same officers who were subsequently ambushed?
Hurst shifted nervously in front of the camera.
School resource officers Stephen Ballard and Officer Wendell Boyd followed a group of suspects into a nearby neighborhood and were ambushed by multiple assailants. A 9mm semi-automatic pistol and a 38 caliber revolver were subsequently taken from the officers after they were subdued. We're asking anyone with information on the whereabouts of these guns to contact the Salisbury Police Department immediately.
The reporter turned the microphone back to himself.
Sergeant Hurst, there's an unsubstantiated report that one student was stabbed with a knife in the altercation, that the student is the leader of a local gang, and that the two officers were ambushed on that very student's front lawn. Would you care to comment on that account?
Hurst nodded slowly.
I can confirm that one student sustained non-life-threatening injuries as a result of the school altercation. He was treated at a local clinic and subsequently released. I'm not at liberty to comment on the student's identity or any affiliation at this time. Our investigation is continuing.
The camera panned away from Sergeant Hurst to focus solely on the reporter.
Knives and guns and gangs. Scary stuff for this quiet bedroom town. Rick Flynn, live from Salisbury. Back to you, Melissa.
Train frowned.
They're continuing their investigation? You guys hear anything since Monday?
Mick chuckled.
Some investigation. Hurst came by my house yesterday with a list of questions. I offered my usual spirit of cooperation. That moron couldn't find a bagel in a donut shop.
He spotted a businessman eavesdropping on their conversation from a nearby booth.
Hey, you got a problem?
The man quickly looked away, but the waitress returned to their table with a remote control and lowered the TV volume with it.
If you're going to harass the customers, you're going to have to leave.
We're done anyway.
Mick sucked the final remnants of soda through his straw with a loud slurp. He pulled a $20 bill from his pocket and handed it to the waitress.
Keep the change,
he said with a wink.
Can I have a refill?
Crazy Legs handed his soda glass to the departing waitress before sinking his teeth into the grinder again.
A refill? We've been waiting 20 minutes for you to finish.
Crazy Legs tried to answer, but mayonnaise and lettuce dribbled down his chin. He laughed at his own spectacle while Mick turned away in disgust. Train threw some money onto the table and stood up from the booth.
I'm out of here. I think I'm gonna puke.
I'm with you,
Mick said.
See you later, slob.
Hey, wait. Where are you going?
Crazy Legs called out. Mick donned his jacket and pulled a pack of cigarettes from his pocket.
Outside. You got 2 minutes to finish, or else.
Or else what?
Or else I'm gonna come back and finish it for you,
Train said with a grin.
And you've already wasted 10 seconds.
Train and Mick marched out of the restaurant and stopped on the sidewalk as the glass door shut behind them. Mick stuck a cigarette in his lips and offered the pack to his friend.
Want one?
Train took one.
Thanks. Got a light?
Mick lit his own cigarette before extending the flame to his friend.
Want me to smoke it for you too?
Train puffed the cigarette to life before exhaling a cloud of smoke into Mick's face.
No thanks, pal.
You jerk.
Mick socked his friend in the chest.
I'll make you eat it.
Train laughed and backed past the windows of a tattoo parlor to the end of the sidewalk, where a short brick wall abutted a gravel embankment rising around the side of the building. He leaned back casually and drew another drag from the cigarette. But his smile faded as he exhaled the smoke again. Mick frowned quizzically at his friend's sullen expression.
I'm just kidding, you know.
Train held up a finger for silence, tilting an ear closer to the building. Mick held his breath as he crept forward, straining to hear a conversation around the corner. As he stepped closer, he could hear several voices interrupting and arguing with one another, but Curly's voice boomed above the rest.
Hey, I took the chance. I'm keeping them both.
You don't need both.
said another voice that sounded like Craig.
Curly's a badass,
said a third voice.
He's gonna shoot up the world.
Mick and Train craned their necks to hear more, but they both cringed at a familiar voice calling out from behind.
Hey, Mick!
Crazy Legs shouted from the door of Krusty's.
What you doing?
Train whirled about.
Shut up!
Too late! Run!
Mick broke into a sprint with a thumb pointed back at the tornadoes already filing around the corner of the building. He jumped off the sidewalk and darted among the cars in the parking lot, while Crazy Legs and Train whirled about and bolted off together down the sidewalk past Krusty's. Mick made a beeline for Burrow Street and the lower plaza on the other side of the road, where a bustling parking lot presented more cover than the upper plaza lot from which he fled. Nearing the busy road, he glanced over his shoulder to see Zack and Curly following him, although the rest of the tornadoes pursued Crazy Legs and Train down the sidewalk. Zack's bulky stature minimized his threat in a foot race, but Mick knew Curly was one of the tornado's fastest runners, and the verity that he possessed at least one of the stolen guns made him all the more dangerous. Crafty though he was, he could not outwit a bullet if its mark was true, nor could he hope to maintain his frantic pace long enough to escape Curly's sights. At the curb of Burrow Street, he glanced back to see Zack predictably lagging behind, but Curly gaining ground. Horns blared and tires squealed as he dashed out among the approaching cars, but he arrived unscathed on the other side of the street, leaving Curly waiting for the cars to pass. Mick dashed down a grassy slope to the edge of a wide parking lot that stretched nearly 50 yards to the storefronts of the Lower Plaza Chain Mall, heading for a pharmacy at the center of the strip where the pedestrian traffic seemed heaviest. As Curly finally crossed Burrow Street, Mick ducked behind a nearby car and kept his head low, weaving a haphazard course between the other parked cars until he reached the storefront sidewalk of the Lower Plaza stores. As he cast open the glass door of the pharmacy, he glanced back to locate his pursuer and promptly collided with a woman toting two shopping bags in her hands. They toppled to the ground in a tangle of arms and legs as the contents of her bag scattered onto the sidewalk.
Sorry,
Mick muttered. He helped the woman gather her items until he saw Curly sprinting toward the door, so he scrambled to his feet and ran farther into the store. Seconds later, Curly tromped past the woman and her scattered items before bowling past another startled customer and rushing down the center aisle toward the rear of the store. A pharmacist spotted the approaching ruckus and stepped out from the prescription counter to confront the boys, but Mick ducked his head and barreled into him, leveling the smaller man and stepping over him on the way to the back room. He passed through a brown swinging door and rushed down a hallway to the left, darting around a blind corner only to confront a gray metal fire door that did not readily open. Behind him, the swinging door crashed open to signal Curly's arrival, prompting Mick to drive a hard shoulder into the fire door that finally separated from its sticky jam. He stumbled into a dim storeroom and slammed the door shut behind him as Curly rounded the blind corner. A corridor led to the right, past a row of freestanding metal racks, stocked with assorted products and supplies. Mick grabbed the final rack and yanked it over as he ran by, just as the fire door burst open behind him under Curly's brute force. Aerosol cans and plastic containers tumbled onto the floor as the rack fell against the opposite wall and into Curly's path, just as Mick turned left toward the rear of the storeroom. Curly tried to hurdle the toppled rack at its lowest point, but he tripped on the far edge and tumbled to the stockroom floor with a profane shout. Another metal door equipped with a crash bar stood in Mick's path, with sunlight leaking through the imperfections in its frame. He ran forward and leaped triumphantly into the air, striking the crash bar with his heel and casting the door open to a blinding blast of sunlight and the promise of escape. His jubilation quickly soured as he landed on a short loading platform guarded only by a thin metal chain that readily snapped from the weight of his body. Bracing himself for the fall, he landed on the asphalt 3 feet below, scraping his palms and tearing the knees of his jeans as he landed. He rolled to his feet, dazed from the jarring impact, but motivated into action by the sight of Curly standing in the doorway with his stolen pistol in hand. Back inside the storeroom, the pharmacist pushed the fallen metal rack aside.
Hey!
He shouted at Curly.
Get back here!
Curly sneered back in defiance. He stepped out onto the loading dock and slammed the door shut with his foot, while Mick sprinted for the far corner of the building to the right. As he ran past the rear door of an adjacent liquor store, a German Shepherd sprang after him from the shadows of a dumpster, barking furiously with its chain rattling against the pavement. The dog lunged and bit his calf just before the chain snapped taut on its collar, jerking it away. Mick shouted and limped on toward the rear of the adjacent supermarket with his leg throbbing. He looked back to see Curly running beyond the perimeter of the vicious dog's reach and the pistol held freely in his hand. Tired and aching, Mick staggered past the final establishment in line, the Salisbury branch of the Madison Savings Bank. With fading hope, he ducked around the corner and fell flat against the building. He struggled to control his labored breathing as he inched toward the corner of the wall, listening intently beyond the barking dog for the sound of panting or footsteps upon the asphalt. When he thought he heard something close enough, he clenched a fist and swung it blindly around the corner of the building, relishing the feeling of solid contact that was swiftly followed by a groan and a thud. He waited a few seconds before peering around the corner to see Curly lying flat on his back, with the gun harmlessly on the ground a few feet away. He gasped in surprise and sprang over his enemy to scoop up the gun, marveling at it in his hand for a moment before aiming it down at Curly. Rather than pull the trigger, however, he simply tucked the gun away under his waistline and concealed it beneath his jacket. He brushed the gravel from his knees and spat down at his adversary before turning about and continuing merrily on his way. Crazy Legs and Train didn't share the lieutenant's glee as they ran full stride across the Upper Plaza parking lot with six angry tornadoes in swift pursuit. Their course had continued straight where Mix had turned left, down the sidewalk past a hair salon and a bicycle shop, across a delivery access driveway, and behind a 7-Eleven store set like an island in a sea of asphalt. From there, they ventured to their left across a wide, empty section of the parking lot, their 20-step lead over the tornadoes waning as the skinny boy lagged behind.
Why are you running so slow?
Train called back. Crazy Legs winced.
I can't breathe. I got a cramp.
That's what you get for stuffing your face.
Train pointed to another row of shops ahead.
Head for the pool hall. Maybe Denny or Axel are up there.
Good idea.
Train drew a deep breath and quickened his pace, lumbering down the gentle decline of the parking lot toward the rectangular two-story building, the longer leg of the disjointed L that faced Burrow Street with its shorter leg. The storefront windows shimmered from the late October sun, briefly blinding him as he hopped onto the sidewalk. He turned about and backed up to a glass door with Pool Hall painted in silver lettering, pulling it open to reveal a red-carpeted staircase leading upward.
Hurry!
He urged his friend.
I saw Willie and Phil circling around back.
Crazy Legs hopped onto the sidewalk and glanced at the four remaining tornadoes still heading their way.
This might be our best chance,
he said breathlessly.
Let's take them on, right here.
Are you kidding? We'd get creamed.
Train pointed his thumb inside.
Go!
Crazy Legs slipped inside the foyer and started up the carpeted staircase, while Train pulled himself upward along a brass railing behind his friend. As they rounded the midway landing, the glass entrance door rattled open behind them, and the four pursuing tornadoes filed into the foyer below. Train followed Crazy Legs up the second flight of stairs and stopped at the top to catch his breath, only to spot Happy Jack's spiked blonde hair bouncing up the stairs at the front of the tornadoes. At the top of the stairs, Crazy Legs held open another glass door with Pool Hall lettered in gold and the image of an 8-ball painted beneath it.
Hurry,
he said before ducking inside. Train pushed off from the railing and followed him in as the tornadoes neared the top of the staircase. They halted as a dozen pool players scattered around the pool hall turned to acknowledge their tumultuous arrival, while a bald, wrinkled man looked up from behind a countertop.
Hey, no colors in here,
he grumbled.
You two know better.
Crazy Legs held up his hands as he backed to the center of the hall.
Sorry, Otto. Just passing through.
The skinny boy turned forward again and promptly collided with a tattooed player in a motorcycle vest who was lining up a shot at a solitary nine ball. The biker stumbled forward as he shot, glancing the cue ball with his stick and sending it straight into the side pocket. Furious, he threw his stick onto the table and grabbed Crazy Legs' wrists before he could slip away.
That game was for $20,
the biker fumed.
You owe me $20.
Crazy Legs tried to twist his hand free.
I haven't got it.
The biker looped an arm around his neck.
Then I'm gonna take it out of your ass, toothpick.
Train, help!
Train glanced back to see the four tornadoes gathering by the front desk. He picked up a cue stick from a vacant pool table and stepped up behind the biker, cracking the butt end of the stick across the biker's buttocks while Otto shouted an objection.
Hey, come on!
The man howled and grabbed his stricken butt cheeks, allowing Crazy Legs to break free and retreat toward the rear tables, while Train backed toward him with a wary eye on the patrons in the room. Otto cussed and started out from behind the counter, but Craig shoved him back onto his stool as the other three tornadoes fanned out across the room. Train tossed the broken stick aside and retreated to the emergency exit at the rear of the room. He drove an elbow into the crash bar and kicked the door open to reveal a metal catwalk outside.
Hurry! Willie and Phil are coming!
Crazy Legs stopped at the last pool table, littered with a dozen balls from an abandoned game. The angry patrons glowered at him from about the room, while the four tornadoes continued to approach. Tony Spinelli and Happy Jack flanked the walls to either side of the room, and Craig strode confidently down the center aisle ahead of JJ. The tattooed biker approached with the butt of the broken cue stick in his hand, as his bearded partner circled their table with his fists clenched by his sides. Crazy Legs scooped up three balls from the nearby pool table and launched them in rapid succession across the room. Tony cried out as a green ball ricocheted off his elbow, while a blue and white striped ball whizzed past the biker's ear before crashing into the fluorescent lamp over the table behind him. Craig jumped back from the shower of sparks and glass and into the path of a flying yellow ball a split second before it glanced off his collarbone.
Kramer, you're gonna die!
He cried out as tornadoes and patrons alike chimed in with shouts and threats. Crazy Legs grabbed two more balls from the table before retreating to the emergency exit.
These might come in handy,
he said, clacking them together.
Go!
Train grabbed him by his jacket and threw him outside before slamming the door shut behind them. To their right, the catwalk led to a rusty staircase that Phil was already ascending, while to their left, the metal grating stretched to the end of the building at a point that overlooked the alley between the two buildings at the junction of the L. Crazy Legs peered over the metal railing to see Willie standing below, waiting to pounce if they attempted to jump.
We're trapped. Now what?
Train headed left.
This way.
Hold on.
Crazy Legs cocked back a solid black ball and called out.
8 ball. Center pocket.
He cast the ball with all his might at Phil running down the catwalk, striking him squarely on the forehead and knocking him flat on his back. The emergency door burst open again, casting Crazy Legs back against the railing as Craig led the angry mob out onto the catwalk. The grating shook with every step of Train's beefy legs as he bolted for the far end of the fire escape, while Crazy Legs whirled about and sprinted after him with the incensed throng thundering along the grating, hot on his heels. Train turned about at the end of the catwalk and stretched out his arms to his friend sprinting at him full tilt. Crazy Legs leaped forward and, in one fluid motion, Train lifted him over the safety railing to place him deftly upon the metal lid of a dumpster in the alley below. Train grabbed the railing with his sturdy hands and swung his feet over like a gymnast on a sawhorse, nearly kicking Craig in the jaw with his giant shoe before landing on the dumpster lid with a clang. Crazy Legs clambered safely to the ground, but Willie quickly jumped him from behind and latched onto his back. Train dropped to the asphalt and peeled Willie away before twirling the diminutive scout about and flinging him into tall stacks of empty beer bottle cases that crashed down upon him. Crazy Legs grabbed Train's sleeve and pointed to the tornadoes laboring over the catwalk railing with the pool hall patrons muddling among them.
Way to go, Train! We're home free!
He ran out of view around the dumpster toward the parking lot again, but his departure was marked by a thump and a muffled cry, followed by an orange-striped billiard ball trickling out into the center of the alley. Train darted around the corner to find Zack lying on top of his friend and mashing his face into the grimy asphalt. He tried to knock the rugged tornado from his perch as Crazy Legs squirmed to break free, but one by one the other tornadoes joined into the fray. Soon, Train also lay pinned to the ground, twisting and writhing, while four tornadoes held each of his powerful limbs immobile. Craig hovered over them with eyes gleaming, his tornadoes joined by a half dozen pool players with smirks of satisfaction upon their faces. JJ squeezed Train by the jaw.
How do you like me now, Armstrong?
He asked, his left eye still sporting a shiner from his thrashing at the keg party. Phil stooped beside Crazy Legs with a noticeable welt growing on his forehead.
I'm gonna make you eat this,
he yelled, pressing the orange-striped billiard ball hard against the skinny boy's nose. Craig squatted between his two captives.
Time to teach you hurricanes a lesson. We ain't playing games anymore.
Crazy Legs grit his teeth and wriggled beneath his captor's hold.
We ain't afraid of you, Matthews.
That's your first mistake.
The tornado leader stood upright and kicked him in the thigh before stepping back and lighting a cigarette. He drew a deep drag and exhaled dramatically before snapping his fingers. And the true pain began. Neither strength nor agility spared either boy from the punches and kicks that rained down upon them. And all they could do was shield their faces while Craig stood back, smoking his cigarette and chatting amicably with the pool players. Finally, beaten nearly senseless by his enemies, Crazy Legs flinched as a gunshot resounded through the alley. Fearing the worst, he rolled over and cast a wary eye toward Train, expecting to see him lying dead on the pavement. Instead, Train rose to his knees as their assailants scattered from the alley like a flock of frightened birds. He leaned back upon his heels and sucked on a bloody lip as he watched a familiar face entering the alley from a gap in the short stockade fence bordering the sidewalk.
Where did you come from?
He asked the hurricane lieutenant. Mick grinned with his newfound pistol still pointed toward the sky.
You guys looked like you needed help.
Crazy Legs wiped his bloody nose on the back of his hand.
Where'd you get the gun?
Like it? Courtesy of Curly McClure, he said proudly.
Great idea. Shooting it like that? What if Craig had the other one?
Then he'd be dead,
Mick snapped.
Maybe I should have stood by and let you carry your teeth home in your pocket.
Crazy Legs struggled to his feet and brushed the dirt off his pants.
I'm just saying, you shouldn't have fired it. Now they'll think you'll do it again.
So what? Maybe I will. We ain't exactly playing kickball with them, freak.
Train glanced about the plaza.
Can we argue later? We should get the hell out of here.
Mick stuffed the pistol under his belt.
I saved the kid's ass and he nags me about it. I can't win.
He backed through the fence opening and trotted off across the parking lot in the direction of hurricane territory. Train glanced to Crazy Legs, who rolled his eyes in return, before they ran off after their friend with the gun.